Welcome to the Round 7 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined again by Faz. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks, Marcus. Good to be here.
And Dunny, a couple of weeks off the show. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Marcus. Great to be back.
Now, we've got Faz on 3 weeks in a row, we normally keep a bit of a rotation going, but Faz is here 3 weeks in a row because he continued to move upwards. Top 1,000 last week. This week, top 300, 266th. Wow. Huge. And, you know, that's the score and that's a ranking that puts you in contention to win, potentially, you know. So, very exciting that you're up in that sort of crowd at the moment, Faz. Why don't you give us a bit of a run through your weekend?
Yes, certainly. Thank you for that. I mean, I feel like tyres are well and truly inflated, and I'm worried that all of this talk is, you know, it's making it real and it's just going to fall over in a heap now. But anyway, this week, another good one, as you mentioned. Final score was about 21.50. Had the captaincy on Gorn, which was fantastic. And last week's trades went ahead, I think, as discussed on the podcast, in memory. I think I stuck the course there, and Elliot Yeo and Lockie Whitfield came into the team for Matty Rowell and Starcevic. So pretty good timing on the Starcevic trade out too, with his, you know, backing it up with another poor one on the weekend.
Yep, everything seems to be coming up Millhouse. When things go right, let's just keep going right. So good on you, mate. The bottom dwellers, Donnie and I, are here to bring the average back to something sensible. You know, you just we don't want to set unrealistic expectations for our listeners.
That's an issue I'm very familiar with. I'm usually the one.
Actually, we have had quite a few listeners reach out, and especially the Patreon team picker at the start of the year. I think Super Lucas posted on our Facebook page. He's coming 107th at the moment, which is fantastic, and he very much credits some of the advice that we've given, which is humbling. So I certainly hope our community members who are killing it like Faz are relishing it, and Dunny and I will be right on top of helping the listeners with turnaround strategies where we live in. So we've got the balance there of top speed versus turnaround strategies. Dunny, why don't you take us through your weekend, mate?
Yeah, well, I was scheduled for about a 2100 and something, just like Faz, but the wheels well and truly fell off with Paddy Cripps and Doherty, just like they did for Faz there. But I finished with a 1994, so not fantastic, but I did certainly move up in the rankings quite some distance. It's easy when you're down that low. But things are starting to look a lot better for my team. I was happy with a few more of the scores, like Sicily with his 132, Viney with his 123, Tom Mitchell, Dangerfield. They're finally starting to click through, which is, I think last time I was on the show, Marcus, we talked about that. Our teams, we had good players. They just weren't the right players at the time. So, and this weekend, I managed to bring in Ridley, which I was really happy with. It was nice to have him in the side. But also brought in Arts, which I think a lot of people did, and a lot of people wouldn't have been happy with the 28 that he put out last Big week fun. Either. Yeah. So look, but that happens with rookies. You know, they have a great week and then they have a poor week, and then the week you put them on the bench, they'll have a great week, like I did with Curtis Taylor last week with his 100, and then had him on the field this week for his 15. So,
God,
really kicking goals. But look, yeah, that's the way the game goes, particularly with the rookies. But yeah, we continue on, Marcus. I've got a bit of a war chest ready to start making some upgrades shortly, so we'll get there. How did you go last week, mate?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. War chest. That's it. That's what I've got to. 280K in bank. I Starcevic as the emergency, and was going to put on a rookie or a premium in his spot, but when I saw that Simpson scored 100 plus and Day scored 90, and at that stage Duncan, you know, looked like he could have been out for a little while, I went time to go early on Rankin and bring him in last week. So I was reasonably happy about bringing him in and bringing Whitfield in last week, but I knew I was going to sacrifice on-field scoring this week. I certainly in an interesting spot. If I double downgrade, I have 500K, and that just seems absurd. But at the same time, you know, some tempting rookies available. So we'll certainly get into some of those discussions. I scored 1880, so terribly. Wingard 34, Segler 43 is basically the tail of the tape. Yeah, just... just no good. Not good. At least, as you said, Dunny, midfielders for starting to finally turn things around. Anyway, we'll get on to some questions, but before we get into the rookies this week, we'll just start off with one injury question, and I'll just reference a player who got suspended as well. So Ben Long suspended, just saw that before we came into the podcast recording. Now, I don't know how many people would have picked up Ben Long at the start of the season or before the price changes, but 361K, he's gone up 80K, hasn't worked out brilliantly. He's only in actually 5% of teams as I open that. It's time for him to go. He's out for 3 weeks if you have him. And the other one that we got a question about is a question from Facebook from Simon Hiscock, and he's asking about replacing Heaney. So he's going quite well overall, and he really wants to get a temperature check from us in terms of the type of trade he should be making. So side swap to a Bailey Smith, upgrade to a Simpkin, downgrade to a Rankin. Any initial thoughts on that, fellas?
Yeah, so I think this one, to me, it's a pretty clear one with Rankine presenting so much value. If there's a way that Simon can manufacture things that can use his other trade this week to get in Rankine, then maybe, you know, there's other ways to look at this question. But of those three players, Rankine's the one that really stands out to me. Such a low price, showed his scoring potential on the weekend. And I think the injury risk is the only real concern with Isaac. I know we'll get into it more detail with him later. But I think, you know, spot in the side is very safe. He's shown the scoring potential already. And, you know, the other players mentioned, Bailey Smith is going to be a fair bit cheaper next week when that concussion score cycles out. So I'd be holding out a week and just going and getting the best value rookie at the moment. Dunny, what do you reckon about that?
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think I'd certainly be picking up Rankin this week if I can. I do like the move to Bailey Smith, and it's one that I fully intend to make. But next week, like you said, got that concussion score still in his cycle, and his BE, I can't remember what it was, but it was reasonably high. I do like the idea of perhaps going up to someone like a Simpkin, but I think if you've got that position in the forward line that needs to be changed over, jump on Rankin this week.
For me, Rankin is in regardless. So the question is really what you do with the second trade, which you guys have essentially covered. Probably the only additional things that I'd add is Bailey Smith, even though he could potentially offer more value next week, is break even only 130. He scored like 120 last week. He's at 435K. Even if he drops 15K at his current price point, he's good value if it means keeping a certain momentum. While I would ideally wait for him to bottom out, it's not the worst idea if you're going sideways. And I think really, though, to answer this question, we're really getting down to, you know, do you double down? Do you one up, one down? How do you approach these things? You know, whether or not you're trading out a Heaney or not, it might change the cash equation slightly, but your pressures are actually much more around your rookies off field or non-playing than they are, you know, maximizing points on field. It's a combination of also maintaining a thick enough bench so that you can continue upgrading great momentum. And with that, let's get into the rookies for the week then, because it is the crux of this week's topics. And in fact, we're going to keep this week's show fairly short. Last week, I didn't record a bonus for patrons, so apologies for that. We'll 100% be recording one straight after this. So we're going to focus more of the content on this week's show purely on this downgrade conversation, because fairly honestly, most people will be double downgrading. And anybody who's not, it's because their bench is thick enough and they have pressure to use the cash. I don't think we'll go into too much in terms of, you know, what about Max Gorn? Is he worth 750K? We'll leave a bit of time to record the bonus for our patrons as a thank you and for missing last week. So with that, Daniel Massa, 8's question from Twitter, is asking about who to trade out for Rankine and Simpson this week, certainly in terms of break even and first week scoring, right up there with 112s. Should he be trading him out for underperforming mid-pricer primo like Segler, a non-playing rookie like Georgiadis, or ripe playing cash cow like Starcevic, who has a 90 break-even as an example? So, you know, this is really the front-of-mind question for our listeners this week. And as I mentioned with Simon's question, really the thing that you need to be paying a bit more attention to, if you haven't already, is how many non-playing players do you have? How many players do you have that are not generating value for the team? Because in, you know, another 2, 3, 4 weeks' time, you're going to run out of trade-out targets. You're going to run out of fresh cash cows. So we want to achieve a balance of upgrading our team but creating enough of a stable rookies to be able to continue that movement. So Brander, Noble, McInerney, Brown, Rivers, Cameron, Zeri. There's quite a lot of non-playing players. And to me, that is the biggest informer in terms of what you do this week. If you're facing five non-playing players, you kind of want to double downgrade this week to fix up potential cash generation problems in the future. And next week, you know, hopefully there's a bit of a lull in rookies. Rookies come the future week instead, and you can do a double upgrade and catch up that way. So in terms of general advice, I would really be looking at your bench to inform this sort of decision making. What do you think about that, Faz, and how does that relate to your situation?
Yeah, that certainly matches up with my thinking. I think I'll just put a line straight through the option of looking at the underperforming premiums or mid-prices at the moment. I think the priority really needs to be clearing your team of any rookies on field. And, you know, perhaps we can put a little asterisk beside Rankine for the time being. We'll see how he backs up the scoring in game two. You know, but if you've still got, you know, the Marley and Pickett's and Hartley Bunnells, they're putting out some respectable scoring, but it's really not ideal when they're pumping out 50s and 60s. So I think you want to be replacing a rookie. Then I completely agree. Your focus should be on minimizing the number of non-playing players that you have in your team in general and rookies in particular. And what I'd be thinking is, if it's possible, you want to assess all of your rookies and see, you know, who's the most likely to come back in. I think, for example, McInerney is probably a good chance to come back into Sydney's team with Heaney and Josh Kennedy both going down with injuries. A guy like Tyler Brown, on the other hand, you know, we had some impressive debutants on the weekend for Collingwood. And, you know, I think some more players like, you know, Steel Sidebottom is going to come back in a couple of weeks' time. I think his prospects of getting a recall are much lower, and he's got that advantage of being a bit higher price. And that's where I would prioritize trading out a Brown over a Georgiadis or Rivers, because the problem is there, you're really only making sort of chump change amounts when you do a Georgiadis to a Rankine trade. I think that only nets you about $10,000. At least you get, you know, 110 from the, if you're going Brown down to Simpson, and you can put that money to use elsewhere. So if possible, that's the trade I'd be looking to prioritize.
Yeah. And I notice when you look at the top teams that even the top teams are facing, you know, five or six is probably the most common numbers, non-playing rookies at the moment. Donny, what does that look like in your team? Are you faring a bit better non-playing?
Yes and no, I am now. But this is the problem that I've had the last couple of weeks, is with those, particularly with the defensive rookies not being named. So guys like Noble, Rivers, Brander, and I can't think who the other one I had was, but exactly as Faz was saying, they're the ones you want to fix up first so that you're not getting caught out like that when selection comes around, because those issues have been what's driving my trades in the last couple of weeks, rather than the trades I wanted to make to further improve my team. I've had to make trades to plug gaps, and that's not what you want to be doing. So, yeah, if you've got all of these non-playing rookies sitting on your bench, I think they're where I'd be focusing my attention first before I looked at the other guys. If you're looking at someone like Butterick or Stasevich, they're at least playing, and they might lose, you know, $3,000 or $4,000, but it's better than having a zero sitting there for that round. So 100% agreeing yeah. with what Faz was saying.
And just to paint a picture for our listeners, if you just project your team forward a few weeks and try and look for the rookies that you're able to trade out, I'd guess that most people wouldn't have a lot of certainty that they'd be able to continue upgrading, when you consider that in my team, at least, the most expensive rookie at the moment that I have is Starcevic. He's about to go down with a break even of 90. The second most is Taylor, who just scored a 15. And then I've got Max King, 260K, he's scheduled to get up to 300 in a couple of weeks. After that, you know, I'm in the 230K bracket with a lot of my rookies. So if you imagine, even if you trade out two 300K rookies and you get 160, 70K from that upgrade, you're only really upgrading to a player that's 470K. And we have like two of those players that I can identify in our current team. Really emphasize that our listeners pay a bit more attention to it now. Hopefully, we've got other coaches out there that get suckered into short-term gain, and then we get to catch up with a better upgrade cadence in the following week. So I really think that this week's a good week to swallow a bit of a bullet. Having said that, you know, there's talks about compressed fixtures that would potentially affect ins and outs, affect rookie availability, and affect the consistency of our players getting on park if people have, you know, really, really short turnaround. So There's a whole lot of risk and unknowns, obviously, to add into that equation, but certainly I wouldn't be thinking of that as a potential exit clause. I'd be planning for a scenario where we continue to struggle with rookies. And this week, with so many available, it's the right time to be doing it. So let's go to the next question. It's from Luke Kenyon, one of our Patreons, and he's basically asked whether or not he should be double downgrading. But he said once he selected Rankin, he's struggling to choose the next one. And the three that are really coming up a fair bit, and I don't think we have to necessarily go past them because you should probably stay within the four. They're just that tempting. Simpson for Geelong, McPherson for Adelaide, and Day for Hawthorn. Now, McPherson, probably in terms of job security, is the guy that you'd look to with a bit more confidence, obviously playing for Adelaide, a mature age player as well, whereas Day and Simpson seem to be in for injuries or out of form players, Day for Scrimshaw, Simpson for, you know, Jack Stephen. So there's certainly some ongoing job security concerns. Outside of Rankin, Dunny, who do you like, mate?
Yeah, this is a tough one. And over the weekend, it was, yep, I'm going to bring Simpson in. But the more I think about it, the more I'm a little bit concerned about his position and his role in that side. Yes, Duncan's gone out with an injury. Narkle has gone out with an injury. But Stephen should be coming back. So what happens when Duncan and Narkle come back in? Does he hold his spot? Probably not. But it depends on the form he's showing at the time. I did like the game of Will Day. He looked really good, I thought. But once again, yeah, as you said, he's in for an injury. McPherson will get games, and I think Adelaide are doing exactly the right thing, playing the kids, getting them out there, seeing what they're like. They might as well do it this season. They haven't had a great start, and this is exactly the time to do it. But, you know, I'm just worried about his scoring ability going forward as to, you know, particularly in that side. That's my main concern over him. But I think
we should bring up that Quinton Narkle is out for 3 to 4 weeks. Mitch Duncan is only out for a test, though. Yeah. So you assume Duncan retains his spot. There's a chance that Stephen comes in for Narkle, and I would suggest Simpson retains it for at least 1 week, but that might go in future weeks. In terms of people coming back for the injury list, Tom Atkins is one that could potentially risk that sort of spot. He sometimes does midfield rotations. He's got a rib injury. He's still out for 2 to 3 weeks, but he could also be a pressure player. I guess the thing with Simpson, though, and the thing that most people are recognizing, and really the crux of the question is, even if he doesn't play a lot, if he plays 2 to 3 games, that's probably enough with his starting price point and how much we're struggling to find rookies. Not just that, if he actually gets on park, he's been clearly good enough in the VFL for a long time and he's an accumulator, he should be fairly tempting. The question is just how do you balance the risk of how many games will he play?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think exactly those points. You're looking at go, well, he's probably going to be in that side for, say, 3 weeks. And given the massive score that he had in his first game, his break-even's nice and low, he should rocket up reasonably quickly to the point where you could probably be comfortable trading him out after that three-week period. So of the three, I think Simpson's probably first for me, and probably McPherson just due to that job security before I would look at Day. And I think Day is a little bit more expensive too from memory because I think he was one of those early draft picks.
That's right. He's pick 13 in last year's draft, so 30,000 more than the other blokes we're talking about.
Yeah.
For context, if Simpson scores 50 in the next two rounds, he'll go up 100K. So if he's scoring about 75, you're talking closer to 130. If he's scoring hundreds, you know, you're potentially talking 150 in a couple of weeks. So obviously that's best case scenario. But even if he's scoring 250s, you know, 100K, that's pretty quick cash generation. Faz, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that quick cash generation is just the key in this one. And as we set up before discussing these guys, that really is the issue at the moment. You went through the options earlier, but you know, once we trade out Starcevic, Taylor, and King, which is probably all likely to happen in the next few weeks, you know, we're back to the sort of sub 250K guys, and we've all had experience trading there, and it just really doesn't cut it when you're trying to get premiums into your side. You've usually got to do sort of three trades. Two downgrades and an upgrade to actually get a premium at those prices. So the potential for Simpson to go nuts with his price is probably enough for me to, you know, keep one eye closed when looking at the job security issues because I think they're real. I think, you know, obviously Mitch Duncan is a senior player in the Geelong side and I think comes straight back in when he's ready. You know, Atkins seems to have been getting regular games the last few years. So despite the good performance Simpson had on the weekend, He probably sits above him on, you know, Atkins sits above him on the pecking order. Similar concerns with Will Day in terms of job securities and at the higher price point. I'm just not really willing to look at him. So then I put it down to a McPherson versus Simpson. I'd agree with Dunny's point on the scoring limitations that McPherson might have. I think he's a pretty solid pick to sort of stay in the team for the next few weeks. But you know, as you pointed out, you know, McPherson could, let's say, score 60s every week, and he'd probably have to stay in the side for sort of 6 weeks, something like that, to match what Simpson can do in the next three with similar scoring because of how good his first round was. And I think at that point, if McPherson's just going to sit there and sort of slowly build up in price, that's probably not the guy that we want to be bringing in before round seven in a shortened season, because it just could be too late by the time he gets to a good price.
Yeah, I think the other thing that people would want to consider is just the amount of rookie exposure they have in the back line. I have a lot of rookie exposure in the back line. I've got Williamson, Starcevic, Noble, Brand. Like, it's an absolute horror show. And having a rookie that is actually reliable, mature aged, that's actually reasonably tempting as well. So that could be another aspect to think about in your own teams. Is positionally, do you prefer trading in two midfield rookies, or might you prefer a backline rookie to spread some of that? In terms of Day versus McPherson, I think I agree as well. I'd go McPherson because he's cheaper and because his job security is better, but pretty sad to pass up on Day, though. He looked really good after one round. But if you want to pass up on Simpson to go with McPherson, I don't think that that's a bad move at all. I'd actually let the positions determine it a little bit more, considering Simpson has some risk as well. Okay, next question from Matt Donnelly. The first part of his question is the same. We've already been through it. But the second part was, can we go for one of these rookies next week after a price rise? Now, that's pretty interesting. I guess just born out of the fact that, you know, concerns are if a rookie doesn't show up in future weeks and we just got the big glut now, are we okay potentially just saying we'll come back to you next week, McPherson, with the lowest break even? I'm guessing he's the one you'd probably want to do it if you're going to wait a week.
Yeah, I agree, Marcus. I think if you're going to wait a week, McPherson would be the one, because the other, like Simpson and Rankin, are probably going to rise in value faster, as we talked about. So definitely you could come back to him next week.
And I mean, Day, because he's at 150, he'll go up to like 180. I think when you're already starting with a more expensive rookie, it's hard to go to them after one price rise. So Day would be one that I definitely rule out after one price rise. But would you consider McPherson, Faz?
Possibly. The issue there, though, is that if you're I presume that the reason that you're waiting for McPherson next week is because you've got both Simpson and Rankine this week. If the trades that you're doing are the sort of Georgiadis types, you know, say you're doing a Georgiadis to a Rankine, I appreciate that you won't be generating much cash from those trades, so maybe you will be in a position next week to get a third rookie in. The only concern, though, is that if you're doing more of a Stasevich or Curtis Taylor type downgrade, I'm not sure that you're really looking for a downgrade next week. I think you're probably trying to take the double downgrade this week and turn that into a double upgrade next week. So that'd be just my concern there, that you just might not, you know, it might not fit to be doing the three downgrades across the 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, last question on the rookies. This one's from Dan Whitty, one of our patrons, and it's the spot I'm in. So if you manage to go early on Rankin or Simpson, some people start in Rankin, is this a good opportunity to go one up, one down when the rest are going to be double downgrading, or are Day and McPherson a priority? So this is interesting, especially if you have cash in bank. I'm really struggling with this because I know I'll be taking another big hit. I'm already far behind. But at the same time, I have such big concerns about cash generation moving forward that I feel like I'm just going to prioritize this. And then life will be a breeze upgrading for the next few weeks, carrying a big amount of bank through to facilitate those. But very much on the fence on this still at the moment. Anybody got any advice for me there?
I wouldn't be too concerned about doing the three rookies across the 2 weeks if you're going to go. So you went Rankine, is that right, Marcus?
Last week, yeah.
Yep. So if you're looking, you know, this week, say it's going to be a Simpson and then the Day / McPherson down back. Yeah, I don't think that's a problem because of what you've mentioned in terms of, you know, the cash generation issues that we're looking at. You could also, because you have that cash in bank and you probably already set up, let's say after the Simpson trade, you're ready to do you've got enough cash sitting there to do two upgrades next week. That might then be an opportunity to you know, fix one of those dud rookie spots that are really difficult to find the right time to make the trade on them. I keep coming back to Georgiadis, but, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you're making $10,000 by trading him to Rankine or another rookie at that price. And so there's just, you're never going to want to do that trade, because that the whole reason we're downgrading usually is to get the money to make our teams better. And you're not doing that with the Georgiadis trade. But maybe this is the week to jump on and do that. And then you've sort of patched over potentially one extra hole in your team that nobody else has done. You know, you're getting your jump on the competition, but just not in the traditional way of, you know, getting a rookie, getting a premium when everybody else is downgrading. It's more you've just set your team up to be better prepared for carnage down the track. And as you've already pointed out, you know, we do have this condensed schedule coming up, and there is the potential for much more flux to come into team lineups, and premium is being rested for a week just so that they're not playing three games in 14 days, or that'd probably be pretty normal, actually. Three games in a lesser amount of days than they normally would. So, yeah, I don't think that's a particular problem, and could end up, you know, you're getting your advantage. It's just delayed by a few weeks.
All right, let's move on to the next class of questions, and it relates to the trade outs now. So hopefully that's enough to give you a pretty decent perspective on the rookies. I think probably the only thing that I should underline by saying again, in terms of prioritizing the trade outs, it's definitely non-playing rookies first, playing cash cows next, underperforming primo mid prices very much as a luxury. Double downgrade is ideal. Potentially you could still triple downgrade next week and pick up a missing target. If you've got plenty of playing rookies and a lot of cash in bank, one up and one down is not the worst idea at all. Simpson does come with risk. Day does come with risk. Rank in McPherson for safe picks. Rank in Simpson for bonus cash value. All right, on to the trade outs, as I mentioned. And the question here from Aralis Maximus, one of our patrons, asking about Patrick Cripps. So as of asking the question, there was not an injury update, but I think I've seen one now. They've said that Cripps will be fine. He'll play this week. So keep Cripps. Nothing to see here. Sad that he scored a 50, of course, but we cop it and move on. Next one from Roger Brook from Facebook on Segler. Segler's killing him. It's killing me too. It was looking really good as an early pick, but McAvoy taking some ruck time is seriously concerning, and that's across the last 3 weeks now. To rub salt in the wound, he was choosing between Segler and Greenwood, so he's really kicking himself, which certainly doesn't help an emotional rush to want to trade him out. He thinks he needs to get rid of him so he can sleep at night. Faz, you were the guy who was saying that trading premiums is fraught with danger. So I might let you talk some sense into Roger.
Try and dig myself out of that hole, certainly, because I've got Segler too, and I can feel the pain there. The scores the last few weeks have just been appalling. But I think it, you know, comes down to what's the best case and the worst case with Segler. And I think we've really seen the worst case the last couple of weeks. Those sort of scores in the 50s, in the 60s, that's about the worst he can do, I think. And I just have to continue to remind myself, you know, think about some of the scores I've been getting from rookies this year. You know, I've got the one jumping out at me right now is Curtis Taylor's 15. I know that was concussion affected, but we've seen sort of some really poor scoring from, you know, the Butericks and the Rivers. They've put up some 30s this year. And I don't think Segler's going to get that bad. So I think you just have to cop it and accept that you're probably going to lose a bit of value on him, but know that his scoring is still going to be better than most of the rookies that you could field there. And just to undermine my point one last time, J-Pat is out for 4 weeks with his hamstring injury as well. So good chance Segler's spending even more time up forward in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, I think that there's also the chance that he goes back to being the number one ruck, and you'd be really kicking yourself if he goes back to ruckman scoring.
The main problem with trading Segler out is we're in the upgrade cycle now. Last couple of weeks, you know, you could argue we're on the fringe. This week, like 100%. The only reason why we're not sort of starting this upgrading is because we want to double down this week. But in terms of generating cash to work toward an upgrade, this is the week you need to start doing it. The problem with trading Segler out is that likely you'll bring a premium in down the track, even if you downgrade Segler this week, which means that you end up side swapping Segler. And it's unlikely that the premium you bring in is going to cost less than $400,000. So you're going to actually have to pay a bit more to upgrade what is essentially a side swap. instead, what you could be using that trade for is to move somebody who's 250K to somebody who's 100K and generate 150K toward an upgrade next week. Like, you just can't do that if you're touching players like Segler, Viney, Houston. If you haven't moved them yet, we're done. Like, that's it. No matter how bad Segler is, like, suck it up for a while. Like, you're much better off hoping he turns things around than side swapping because you're in a losing situation when you put yourself out of the upgrade cycle. You just can't catch up that way. And the other thing to consider with Segler, which is certainly to his benefit still, is he can provide ruck cover. And so Grundy goes down, Gorn goes down. Maybe they miss because in the compressed fixture, they can't play back-to-back weeks and they play 96% game time. Whatever the case may be, Segler can still provide that sort of security. So worst case for me, best case for me, Segler actually sits at F7 to provide cover in the rucks and in the forward line at the end of the year.
I think that's a great strategy there, Marcus, because the other thing you can do with him, the Hawks do tend to get quite a few Friday night games or early in the round games, so you can use him as a loophole for your forward line with some of those rookies that you're bringing in, and if he happens to snag an 80 or a 90, then he's paid for himself already.
I like it. We're going to finish with the last question from Tom Boak, and he's asking about Bailey Smith. So we've already talked about him previously, and he's just wanting to know whether or not Smith is an option if you have Bont, McRae, and Daniel. So even if you have a lot of Bulldogs, Bailey Smith's scoring has looked absolutely unreal this year. He's basically like 100 or 110 plus, except for his three. And so for me, he's almost certainly coming into the team. Essendon this week and then Gold Coast the week after. What do you reckon about Bailey Smith, Donnie? You like him?
Absolutely, mate. He's on my shopping list. If I wasn't going to be double downgrading this week, I probably would have looked to bring him in. But I think Tom mentions there that he's got Bont, McRae, and Caleb Daniel as well. Given the fact that we don't have, to the best of our knowledge at the moment, any multi-buy rounds this year, that's not an issue for us. If it was a regular season and we were 7 weeks in, we'd say, no, you know, you've got too many Bulldogs players, you're not going to be able to cover them. But certainly no issues here. And he's playing a fantastic role. He's available as a forward, so I would certainly have no hesitation bringing him in if that was in your plans.
Yep, and Bulldogs have proven to be quite a skewed team from a Supercoach scoring point of view in the sense that they can support quite a top-heavy Supercoach scoring contingent, whereas, you know, we tend to notice, you know, Sydney from previous years, GWS this year, West Coast midfield maybe suffers a bit from it. They can tend to steal points from each other. But last year, you know, we already saw Bont, McRae, Dunkley all manage true ultra premium midfield numbers, Daniel average in the back line. We've seen in the past Hunter, McLean types come through as well. So with the Dogs, I'm not too concerned about sharing points as well. They very much are top heavy. That wraps up another week of the podcast. Like I mentioned, for our Patreons, we're about to jump in and record a little bit of a bonus. But nonetheless, we wish Faz the best on his journey toward 50K. And give you the opportunity to sign off, mate. Anything you want to leave our listeners with for the week?
I'll be sure to mention Supercoach Coach in the acceptance speech. Don't worry.
Yeah. And Daddy?
So, Faz, if you're not doing anything else over the week, if you just come and fix my team up, that'd be fantastic.
All right. Thank you both for joining us for the advice to our listeners. To our listeners, keep well. Be kind to yourselves. I know there's a lot of crap going on at the moment with coronavirus numbers and stuff looking bad. I know you're not here to listen to that, but just hope you all are well. And thank you for joining us through this period. And if you're still engaged with Supercoach, I hope we're able to give some brevity and enjoyment to your week. So we'll catch you again very soon. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.